Well, if you would, please take your Bibles and turn to Romans chapter 13. Romans chapter 13. Today we're going to focus on verses 8 through 14. You can find that in the Pew Bible on page 122nd of the second half of the Pew Bible. I'm sorry, 127. Today we're going to look at putting on Christ for Christmas. Putting on Christ for Christmas. If you've had kids, then you know what dress-up time is. It's that point where mom and dad has specifically put aside X amount of things for the kids to be rummaging through on purpose. That's right, on purpose. It's something to stimulate the brain activity and creativity of children to have make-believe and times where they can role-play as other individuals. Well, my family was no different. We had one of those chests or these areas where we kept a lot of clothes from you know, jackets to dresses to scarves to hats to gloves to a mirror to everything. And the kids were allowed to rummage through as they want and look at themselves and pretend to be other things or just wear it because they feel like doing it. How often I would be at home and I'd see one of the little girls running around in their mom's long dress and playing with gloves on their hands, little princess. That's what kids love to do, right? Well, the whole idea of doing that is that you are putting on someone else. You're putting on something else in your life so that you can become someone different, someone new, someone special. Well, today we're going to look at a verse given to us by Paul, the apostle, in which he instructs us to put on Jesus Christ. It's an interesting statement, but I think if we think of it in the way of dress up and role play, you kind of get what that means. I'm putting on Jesus. I'm clothing myself in him. Thus, I am taking on who he is in my life. And so let's look at that today and how that affects us. We're going to, again, look at Romans chapter 13. We're going to look at verses 8 through 14. And let's see what Paul says. Paul has been telling us to obey government and the governors and be giving honor to honor, to owe nobody anything. And here we go, verse 8. Owe nothing to anyone except this, to love one another. For he who loves his neighbor has fulfilled the law. For this, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not covet. And if there is any other commandment, it is summed up in this saying, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no wrong to a neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfillment of the law. Verse 11. Do this, knowing the time, that it is already the hour for you to awaken from sleep. For now salvation is nearer to us than when we believed. The night is almost gone, and the day is near. Therefore, let us lay aside the deeds of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us behave properly as in the day, not in carousing and drunkenness, not in sexual promiscuity and sensuality, not in strife and jealousy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provisions for the flesh in regard to its lust. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word and instruction given to us here in Romans. Instruct us now in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we're going to look at three things today. First, we're going to look at putting on Christ this Christmas enables us to have purity in body. Putting Christ on for Christmas enables us to have purity in body. You know, when we clothe ourselves in our Savior, when we clothe ourselves in Jesus Christ, you know what it does? It keeps us from falling into adultery. It keeps us from committing murder. And what is these things? Well, falling into adultery is what? Having lust for another in your eyes, in your heart, in your mind. It's not just the act itself, it's the idea in the heart. Also, committing murder. Jesus says, if you hate your brother, you have done that very thing. So, again, keeping Christ on us and clothing ourselves in him will enable us to prevent us from stealing. It keeps us from sexual immorality. It keeps us from fulfilling the sensual desires and pleasures of our hearts. And it keeps us from drunkenness and strife. You know, when we clothe ourselves in Jesus, it keeps us from anything that we may commit in the body. Putting on Christ keeps us from sin. Makes us authentically Christian in conduct and in character. It enables us to love our neighbor as ourselves. It enables us to love our neighbor because that is the fulfillment of the law, is it not? And it keeps us bodily pure. Ever been to the Highland Games here in New Hampshire? There's the opening ceremonies. It's unlike you may have never seen before at Gunstock. As they're coming down around the hill in the fog of the morning, there you hear the bagpipes. It's like, you know, some have said it's like being in Scotland itself. And one by one by one, these guys, all dressed in their Scottish garbs, all aligned in their clans and families, and they're coming and marching behind the bagpipes. You know, I once heard that you can't play the bagpipes wrong because it just sounds awful no matter how you try. Right? But, you know, if you've ever heard them play right, then you know the difference. These guys come walking one by one by one in these clans. They go all out for the event. They look authentic. It feels real when you're there, as if you're in Scotland among the Scottish. Can you picture all these individuals dressed up for the event, pretending to be authentically Scottish? I know, it sounds weird, doesn't it? Pretending to be authentic. You know, as I think about that scene, it reminds me how we should do this with Christ in our lives. As instructed by Paul, we should put Christ on in such a way that we will not just look authentic, but we will live in a way that proves we are. It's more than just simply looking like Jesus, it's acting like Jesus. It's being like Jesus. Here's a question that only you can answer. When people see you, do they see a true child of God? When they see you, do they see Christ in you and on you? Not one just simply pretending, but truly one who has been putting on Christ, deeply devoted to the things of Jesus. So much so that nobody questions your faith. When you put on Christ, especially during this Christmas season, you will not just look like your Savior. You will not just be like your Savior. You'll be known like your Savior. You'll be known as a Christian, proving it out to everyone that you come across. You know, during Christmas, those long lines. You know, during Christmas, as you and the other person are grabbing that last present on the shelf, will you give it to that person or will you snag it away? Will you cut that person off at the grocery line or grab that last turkey or ham before they do? You know, there's a lot going on right now. I don't know if you noticed it. It's like traffic doubled overnight since it became after Thanksgiving. It's really weird. I it's the like 30 days between Thanksgiving and Christmas, how many days that is, where it's just crazy to be out. Matter of fact, I just assume not be driving anywhere because everything is packed. Everywhere you go is busy. I don't care what time of day. I don't care where it is you're going. I don't care if it's outside and you're driving around. There's just so many more people out there. And you know what? There's so many more opportunities to get in trouble. There's so many more opportunities to slip up. There's so many other opportunities, though, here it is, to show the love of Christ to others. It's a challenge to every one of us to clothe ourselves in Christ, isn't it? It's a challenge that we must do that will keep us from sinning in the body. It will keep us from, it'll make us pure in the body. But not only does putting on Christ enabling us to be pure in body, but putting on Christ this Christmas enables us to have purity in heart. It keeps us from coveting. We are able to love our brothers and sisters. It enables us to act properly and becoming towards others. It enables us to walk in the light and do deeds that are fitting in the light. Ultimately, when we put on Christ, we will be able to be men and women after God's own heart. That's something I think every one of us needs to pray about in our lives. Lord God, help me to be a man, or in some cases, those of you out there, a woman who has a heart after yours. It's a beautiful thought. It was Christmas Eve, 1875, and Ira Sankey was traveling on the Delaware River steamboat when he was recognized by some of the passengers. His picture had been in the newspaper because he was the song leader for the famous evangelist Dwight L. Moody. The two of them made quite a tandem everywhere they went. They asked him to sing one of his own hymns. He wrote several, but Sankey demurred in saying that he preferred to sing William B. Bradbury's hymn, Savior Like a Shepherd Lead Us. It's a beautiful song. As he sang, one of the stanzas began, We are thine, do thou befriend us, be the guardian of our way. Be the guardian of our way. When he finished, a man stepped from the shadows and asked, Did you ever serve in the Union Army? Yes, Mr. Sankey answered, in the spring of 1860. Can you remember if you were doing picket duty on a bright moonlight night in 62? Yes, Mr. Sankey answered, very much surprised. So did I, but I was serving the Confederate Army. When I saw you standing at your post, I thought to myself, that fellow will never get away alive. So I raised my musket and I took aim at you. I was standing in the shadow, completely concealed, while the full light of the moon was falling upon you. At that instant, just at that moment, as a moment ago, you raised your eyes to heaven and began to sing, Let him sing his song to the end, I said to myself. I can shoot him afterwards. He's my victim, at all events, and my bullets cannot miss him. So I let you sing your song. But the song you sang then was the song that you just sang now. I heard the words perfectly. We are thine, do thou befriend us, be the guardian of our way. Those words stirred up memories in me. I began to think of my childhood and my God-fearing mother. She had many times sung that song to me when I was just a boy. When you had finished your song, I found it was impossible for me to even lift the gun at you. I thought, the Lord who is able to save that man from certain death must surely be great and mighty. And my arm of its own accord dropped limp by my side. That night, Sankey clothed his heart in the Lord, and the Lord shielded him from all harm, both in body and in spirit. It also moved the heart of the man who would look to kill him, though during war it would still have been a type of murder because he was unarmed, unattended, and wasn't alert. So what we find is that man who was listening to Sankey, his heart was clothed in Christ also. For as he was hearing the song, he was reminded of his faith. In this passage, we are called to put on Jesus Christ. When we do, we will know his protection and his leading. And we'll know what it is to be led by the Spirit. And we will be more like he is. When we think of putting on Christ for our hearts and body, we need to consider for the various protective clothing that we wear every year. I mean, it's no secret, winter came early this year, didn't it? Snow was on the ground way more earlier than I ever want to see it. I'm so happy to see that it's disappearing quicker than as quick as it came. But, I mean, we wear winter jackets, right, to keep us warm and to keep us dry and keep the snow from getting all over us and the sleet dripping into us, and we stay warm here in the Northeast when we wear our winter jackets. And we wear light jackets, right? When the fall comes, we put on a light jacket because it's gotten cooler. When the spring comes, we shed the winter jacket and wear a light jacket because it's appropriate to the time of year. And rain jackets during the time of rain. And we wear winter caps and gloves to keep us warm. And we wear various other hats in the year to keep people like me, bald-headed, from getting burns on your head, right? And we wear sunglasses to protect our eyes as well as help our vision. And we wear various shoes out there I've already worn two different pairs today, my boots and my dress shoes. So we wear various shoes according to the weather and climate and utilitarian purpose versus, well, style, don't we? The point is, we know how to clothe our personal bodies, and we should also know then how to clothe our hearts. To see the signs of an upcoming spiritual storm and make measures to protect our hearts from what is coming. We can protect our hearts by clothing ourselves in Christ. So if you struggle with addiction, then spend time reading God's word in reference to such things, and then put on Christ for protection. And don't fall into that sin. Talk with other people. Seek help. Get help from others. If you're struggling with critical nature, you know, you're always got a bad attitude, or you're just a regular Eeyore from, you know, the Winnie Pooh series, you're always down and about things. If you're critical about everything, spend time reading God's word on the subject, and then go about speaking words that lift others up, giving words of encouragement. If you find yourself slipping into the routine, then go to Him in prayer and ask for a covering. Many of us battle within the sins that hinder us, don't we? The reality is we're imperfect peoples in an imperfect body in a redeemed state that cannot escape it, and we must fight the carnal nature versus the saved nature every day. But by putting on Christ, it enables us both body and heart to combat the things that are coming our way. Many of us battle such sins, so let us follow the exhortation that is given to us in the book of Hebrews, chapter 12, early verses 1 and 2, where the writer says, "Cast off those sins that so easily entangle you, and keep your eyes fixed on Christ, the author and protector of your faith." Let us throw off the sins, and let us put on Christ. Let us cover our hearts in righteousness. Let us clothe our hearts in His holiness. Let us put on Christ and experience the true meaning of this Christmas, that we may share the greatest gift of all to others. You know, we look at this and we see putting on Christ enables us to be purity of body and of heart. But lastly, putting on Christ this Christmas enables us to have a purity of spirit. That's that countenance, where we look at heart. Those are decision-making points. Those are our disposition in one way, but in another way, it's about what we choose and don't choose. But when we think about our spirit, it's our very being. It's our core. It's who we are, our very nature. It helps us and enables us to have a purity of the spirit. So we see in verse 12, Paul tells us here, "The night is almost gone and the day is near. Let us then lay aside the deeds of what? Of darkness. And instead, put on the armor of light." The armor of light can't just come upon you and remain there. You must actively do it. That's why we're told to put it on. It's not going to be there on its own. And the moment you are having the armor of light on your life, you have to actively keep it there, because it's easy to slip back into the deeds of darkness. When he says the day is near, right? The night is almost gone and the day is near. He's talking about the coming of Jesus Christ. And because Christ is coming, that day is near. The darkness of sin and death is about to be done away. If that is the case, then throw that stuff off and begin to live as Christ. Put on that armor of light. That's why he says in verse 13 to let us behave properly as like the day. We are to act like it is the day, that this is the day that the Lord has made and Christ is coming. So we're not going to be the kind of people that are carousing. We're not going to be the type of people who are in drunkenness. We're not going to be actively in sexual promiscuity and sensuality. We're not going to be full of strife and jealousy. No, we have cast those things off because we have now chosen to put on Christ. And so that's the command we're giving in verse 14, to put on the Lord Jesus Christ. Again, much like the armor of light, by the way, who is the Lord Jesus Christ, you have to do it actively. It's like anything else in our Christian walk. Once you become a Christian and you're saved and redeemed, there is that regenerated work given to us in the Holy Spirit. You are a new creature in Christ. It's not something we pretend to be. It's something who we are. You are either saved or you are not saved. You are either regenerated or you're not regenerated. You're either a child of God in Christ or you're not. But you cannot be both. You are one or the other. And if you are the child of light, if you are the child through salvation, then it is your responsibility to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. That means you must engage. You cannot be an armchair quarterback. You cannot be a couch potato in the Christian walk. You have to be an active participant. You have to be the individual that makes the decisions. And this is why Paul says to cast off and put on. You have to make that decision consciously about yourself. And that comes back to who you are in your spirit. Our bodies are destruction. They're heading for destruction until the day they're redeemed and fully redeemed and glorified. But we're heading to destruction. And our hearts, well, they can mislead us. But when we think about the purity of spirit, it is the very core of who we are as individuals, and we are called to be Christians. And what a great thing it is that Christians are Christians on Christmas. It's a great thing to see when Christians act like Christians during the Christmas season. I think it's great to have presents. I think it's great to have something under the tree. And if you read the article I wrote for this month, you'll see that what I said about that. I'm not a Scrooge. I like these things. But the reality is Christmas is more. And the reality is what we celebrate often in our homes is a worldly perspective, not a Christian perspective. What is Christmas really about? It's about Christ coming. Christ as a gift to mankind. It is about Christ who is our Savior. And when we receive Him as Savior, we are then to put Him on and live as Christ would live. So, we're called to resist temptations and to help make no provision for the lust of our flesh. To embrace what the true meaning of Christmas really is. Putting on Christ for Christmas means that we will be able to put aside the frivolous meaning that this world has given to this time of year and to embrace that full meaning, to live it out in our lives, not as something we do once a year, but that's something we do all year round. We have put on Christ, and those who know us best as Christians. In The Encourager, Charles Mylander writes, "Sunrise was dawning when Los Angeles motorcycle police officer Bob Vernon saw a red pickup truck speed through a stop sign. This guy must be late for work, the police officer thought to himself. He proceeded to turn on the emergency lights and radioed ahead that he was in pursuit of the red truck. The pickup finally pulled over and the officer approached. Meanwhile, in the truck was the driver. The driver thought to himself, the cops already know. He was scared. He rested his hand on the same gun he had used just a few moments prior before when he robbed a 24-hour market. The sack of stolen money was sitting right next to him in the seat, and this guy thought the cop was pulling him over for that reason. As the officer got near the truck, he said, "Good morning, sir. May I see your..." And all of a sudden, his sentence was interrupted. He never finished it. The driver in the red truck shoved his gun right out the window toward the policeman's chest and pulled the trigger and shot him point blank. At that moment, the cop was knocked flat on his back, 7 feet away. A few seconds later, to the shock of the criminal, the officer stood up, pulled his service revolver out, and fired twice. The first bullet went through the open window and smashed the windshield. The second tore through the door and ripped into the driver's left leg. "Don't shoot," the thief screamed, throwing the gun and sack of money out the pickup window. What saved the policeman's life? What it was dozens of layers of Kevlar, that super strong fabric used as a bulletproof vest. Only 3/8 of an inch thick, Kevlar can stop a bullet cold. The Bible instructs every Christian to put on the full armor of God. Simple qualities like righteousness and faith can deflect what the enemy of souls may fire at us. Simple attributes like holiness and love can prevent us from slipping up and falling short. Putting on Christ is not something putting on Christ is not a sometime thing for Christians. But like the law enforcement, it's an all the time thing. You don't see cops now leaving anymore outside the precinct without wearing their bulletproof vest. Well, we as Christians should not leave any point of the day without putting on Christ. For Christ shields us from all the enemy wishes to bombard upon us, and he rescues us from literally the fiery pit of hell. When I think about putting on Christ this Christmas, I'm reminded of an Old Testament passage in which somebody knew to clothe themselves in God. Many of us are very well aware of the story of David and Goliath, right? What a wonderful story in which young David, after he had been anointed by Samuel, that he would be the next king, as a young man was not old enough to go to war yet. But he had already been anointed as the next king, so his father Jesse sent him off to the battle line the day the Philistines and the Israelites were opposite of one another. David shows up and gives all the gifts of food and everything to the surplus guy who takes care of stock and all that. And he immediately finds himself rushing to the line where his brothers are. As he's talking to his brothers, that's when Goliath comes out and issues the challenge that had been a challenge for quite a time. And the challenge was this: why should everyone die today? Instead, send out your champion, and we will send out ours, and they will fight. Whoever wins will be victorious, and the others will become slaves. That's an old-time thing, by the way. You find that in actually many renditions of history and in the time of antiquity. Instead of everybody dying, two warriors fighting it out, the two best. And that shows a lot of confidence, right? Well, on the other side was Goliath, a man that was reportedly huge. Now, not to embellish it like I think some do, I think if you've got a 7-foot man opposite of a 5-foot Jew, he looks pretty big. I think he's a great big man. He was not so big that David could not wield the sword of Goliath or the staff. Although it was a big staff, it still was wieldable by other people smaller. So I think we've got to be careful how we want to look, make people think in a mythological way that he was like 10 feet tall. I think 7 foot 4 would be an adequate giant in that day. And here, Goliath, this mountain of a man. Here's another thing, too. Everyone knows me to be tall, right? I'm 6 foot 4. And I've been around other 6 foot 4 people that make me seem small. So 6 foot 4 can be big or even kind of small. If you get someone who's 7 foot tall, and I've been around 7 foot tall people, they're huge. They're big. Their hands are big. Their feet are big. Their legs and arms are long. Their body and torso are huge. They're big people. And you take a warrior like that, and he's intimidating. And so here's the issue, the challenge. And David is like, who is this Philistine dog who's berating the army of Israel, the army of our God? And he begins to say, why doesn't any of you go out and fight him? And David is just totally baffled by the fact that this is going on and nobody is taking this challenge, because this is an insult to God. Not to Israel. This is an insult in David's heart and mind, that this is an insult to God. So what does they do? After his brothers berate him and make fun of him, word gets to Saul. And David stands before Saul and says, you're just a youth. You're just a kid. What do you think you're going to do against a hardened, seasoned warrior giant like Goliath? And that's when David says, you know what? The Lord God brought into my path the lion, and I killed him. The bear, I grabbed him by the beard, and I thrusted my knife right into him, and he died. He rescued me from both. He will rescue me from this Philistine. What boldness. I mean, I don't know about you, but I haven't killed a lion in a while or a bear. The fact that David did that was amazing. He's just a boy, not very tall. Even for a Jew, he wasn't very tall. And there's Saul, who is the tallest Israelite around, a head higher than every other Israelite, what Scripture tells us. Saul, the tallest one, wouldn't go after Goliath himself. So what does he do? He offers up to David his armor. Well, you got Saul, who's a head taller than everybody else, an older man by all accounts, probably by 40 years, and you got young David, who's just a kid, probably no more than 16, not even fully developed himself. And he says to him, "Wear my armor, hold my sword, do this." And so this, and the Scripture says, David walked around with it. Can you imagine that? Little David, thin David, little boy David, walking around in this huge armor. And finally, he just sheds it off and says, "You know what? I can't fight in this. It's not mine. Oh, no. I'm going to go out, and the Lord will give me victory this day." So David shows up with a sling and some stones. And Scripture is very clear. They're sitting there talking at one another. They get to the line. They're facing each other. And David says to him, "You have defied the God of Israel. You are going to die this day. Your battle is not against us, it's against God." And David picks up that stone, and the stone is slung, and Goliath gets it right between the eyes, and the Scripture's clear on this. The stone is what kills him. Right between the eyes, Goliath fell down dead. And then David picked up Goliath's sword and cut his head off and had victory for Israel that day. Interesting enough, the Philistines did not become slaves of Israel. They just ran for their lives, and it was over. But when we consider that for a moment, instead of clothing himself with armor and sword and shield, David went to the battle in the armor of the Lord. The armor of light. The armor that is always a perfect fit. When you dress yourself in Christ, when you dress yourself in the Lord and you put on Christ, He will never falter. He will never fail. He will never fall. Thus, you will not either. Let us put on the greatest gift ever given to man this Christmas. Jesus is a gift from God. It's a gift from the Father to be with us, to walk with us, to walk with Him. And when you come to Christ in salvation and you put Him on in your life, you too will defeat the devil and all his schemes. Let me encourage you to clothe yourselves in Christ and know His awesome protection over the various conflicts that often come in life. Don't just wait to clothe yourselves in Him when the time gets tough. Be that one that clothes yourself every day, all the time. Thus, in times of peace and in times of trial, you will know victory in all things. And you'll know what it is to walk in the power of the Lord. We're engaging now into a new season of Christmas. I don't know about you, but it came quick again this year, didn't it? It came faster than it seemed like it did last year. 2018 is just a matter of weeks to be finished, and we'll be into another odd year, 2019. But here we are again. Christmas is here. What is your biggest, what's your biggest thrust during Christmas? Is it family? Are they gifts? Is it just to keep your head afloat? Whatever it is, let me encourage you to make it Christ. Because that's really what the season is about. It's about Jesus Christ and Him alone. And Paul gives us the instructions that we as Christians know that Jesus is coming soon. We're celebrating His first advent, but we're anticipating His second. The coming of Christ is soon once again. So let us cast off the things of this flesh, the things of this earth, and put on Christ, waiting for that day to arrive. Do you know Christ as your Lord and Savior? I hope you do. Heavenly Father, we thank You for today. We thank You for Your word and Your truth. We thank You, Lord, that Paul has given us this message today. May we apply this to our lives every day. That during this Christmas season, we will be individuals who best look like You, celebrating the reason for this season, who is Christ, the greatest gift on earth. Lord, let us share that with others. Let us share the message of the gospel. Let us be living examples to others of that salvation we have in you. O Lord Jesus, be praised in all things. Amen.